Those things we watch in the video are not shocking to Christian people because they already heard in the Bible. If we read the right Bible, you know. And Jesus already told Christian people that going to be happen with you. And it becoming a normal thing for the Christian people in Pakistan because they consider if you follow Christ, you have to carry your cross. And when you carry your cross and you live a godly life or righteous life, you have to face the opposition. When we read the Bible, we can easily understand why those things happening to us. Because Jesus told us, that's going to be happen with every Christian. You're not immune from persecution, I want to tell you, if you are a true Christian. Matthew 10, verse 10 to 12, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness." Because of righteousness. "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." There is a reward for those people. "Blessed are you when people insult you because you are falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." It's not because you have different color or nationality or different race. It's not because you are being persecuted because of the righteous work. And Jesus said, "Rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophet who were before you." So it had been happening, and Jesus said, it's going to be happening in the future too. So don't be shocked about it. But instead of whining and weeping and crying and cursing yourself, he said, "Rejoice and be glad." That seemed weird and very going against the human nature, because we think if we do something good, we expect good for it. But here, when you do something good, you are facing persecution, which is a paradox. So that was not a new thing. That was already had been happening in the Old Testament and is still happening. And today when I will talk, I'm not going to talk about all the persecution happened in the first century. I'm talking about the persecution which is still happening in the 21st century. There are millions of examples you can quote from the first century, but we have millions of examples in this 21st century. 2015, 21 Egyptian Christians, they converted from Islam to Christianity. They were kidnapped by the Muslim Islamic State, Muslim terrorists. They kidnapped, and during that time, they readied their cameras and put the cameras in front of those 25 Christian people. They converted from Islam to Christianity, and they bring their knives and put their knives on their necks, and they were making a movie of them, and they put that movie on the YouTube while they were cutting and beheading them. And while they just were quiet and being slaughtered, Christian people, and they cannot defend themselves, just quiet and letting them do whatever they can do with them. And when they were cutting their necks, they said, "People of the cross." Because Muslim people, they think Christian people are weak people. Because they follow a weak God. They follow the message of cross. They follow a God who cannot defend himself. He was hanged on the cross. How come he can defend us? So they brutally killed those Christian people. But those people did not renounce Christ. They have the opportunity to release from that punishment or the consequences they were facing because of being Christian. But they did not deny Christ. They stood firm on their faith. The Muslim people, they think we cannot believe that kind of the God who is weak and cannot defend himself. But we know they actually don't know the truth. Because God always works through the weakness. The message of cross can be foolishness for the people. But that is wisdom of Christ. Cross can be a weak sign of weakness, but for Christian, it's a sign of victory. And if the Muslim people, they think that God cannot defend himself, how in the world 12 Christian people in the first century, they cannot defend themselves, those weak people turned the whole Roman Empire upside down. God always worked through the weak people. And he always wants to bring the change in this world through the weak people. The condition is that if they put away their pride and intellect and become meek and humble, and God can do a marvelous thing to those people. Muslim people, they expect the Messiah which can turn their political condition and bring the sovereignty of their nationalism everywhere. And the Jews, they were expecting the same kind of the Messiah. They said Messiah and cross cannot fit together. How come you can be Messiah and can be crucified? This Messiah means political leader who could be warrior, who can kill people, who can be Superman, which we are looking for today in this world. Even though in this time we also feel sometimes uncomfortable to call Jesus Christ our Lord, because we think when we believe in Jesus Christ, we have to be humble, meek, and forgiver, which is very difficult. But Jesus always worked through the humble and through the meek people and through the weak people. So that what happened with the 21 Egyptian Christian people, what happened in the first century, that was not a shocking to those Christian people. And it is not shocking to Christian people. They are living in minority in Muslim country because they know if they follow Christ, they have to pay the big penalty for it. And they keep doing because they know there is a big reward for them. Definitely, maybe there is no worldly prosperity for them, excitement. Maybe they don't have much excitement for American football, which is becoming an idol for American people. I mean, we are so gazed and focused on those 11 or 12 people. They have skin-tight dresses, and we are so focused on that, and we forget that. That's not Jesus, the purpose of the cross or the purpose of the Jesus. To just making those 11 or 12 people our idol and our focus and making a base of our excitement and our sadness. We are more focused on those things than God. But in Pakistan and other country, Christian people, they know the worldly excitement, that was not the main goal of Jesus Christ. He wants us to focus on the cross and look for the heavenly reward which he has restored for every believer who's living in this world. And through weakness, God always glorifies himself. He needs weak people. And if you think I'm very strong and I want to contribute in the way of salvation, I want to help God, God did not need any help from you. He want to do everything by himself, and he want to glorify himself through your weakness and want to glorify himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Paul said, that's why for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insult, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And Matthew 5 talk about the blessing for the persecuted Christian. And that blessing is not a worldly blessing, which is based on the chance and changes. The word happiness has a root word which is called hap. which means chance or change, and fortune. And their excitement, humanly excitement, they are based on the circumstances, even based on the weather, can really change their excitement and their mood and attitude. And the American dreams are pursuit of the happiness. That is our goal, American goal. And that's not a Christian goal. The world can win its joys, and the world can equally well lose its joy. A change in fortune, a collapse in health, the failure of plan, the disappointment of an ambition, even a change in the weather can take away the fickle joy the world can give. So human excitement, they are not permanent. They come and go, come and go. On the other hand, Christian joy and excitement is permanent because it comes through the Jesus Christ. And we don't pursue for happiness. Actually, happiness finds us in the pain. The joy which sorrows and loss and pain and grief are powerless to touch. That joy, we get it through the Jesus Christ. That joy which shines through tears and which nothing in life or death can take away. That is the joy we get when we live with Christ, when live Christ in us, when we walk with Christ. Nobody can separate us from this joy as long as we are walking with Jesus and Jesus lives in us. Therefore, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Sheep like those 21 Egyptian people, they were beheaded by those terrorists. And when they were beheading them, they are showing them how powerful we are. And those kind of things cannot separate us from the joy and excitement we have in Jesus Christ. No, in all those things, we are more than conqueror through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So nothing can separate us from the love of God. Persecution, to be beheaded by the Muslim people or other people, they did not like Christian people. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ or the joy of the Christ. John 16, 22. No one, said Jesus, will take your joy from you. So we shouldn't be worried about it. The things when the bad things happen to us. We think if something happened to Christian people, it means we are not walking in a right way with God. Actually, a lot of opposition and persecution happened when you walk rightly with Jesus Christ. Here is the proof. Does it really true to live in a persecution and still have a joy? When Jesus said, no one, said Jesus, will take away joy from you. Is that true? Is that happened this way, whatever Jesus said? Does Christian people, they prove in the history when they were going through the persecution and they were still rejoicing? Acts chapter 5. When the apostle, they were dragged into the Sanhedrin, and they told them, next time, don't talk about Jesus Christ anymore. We don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. And what was their answer when they were standing in the court, in the council, and in front of the Sanhedrin? The answer was that we must obey God rather than human beings. The apostle, when they heard this word, they flogged them, they beat them. And what happened? What was the reaction of those apostles? They were not weeping, oh, why did we accept Jesus Christ? There are so many persecution. I wished I wouldn't have accepted Jesus Christ. So I wouldn't have that much persecution in my life. They were not regretting. Because they already knew that Jesus already told them, if you will walk with me and you carry your cross, you have to face the consequences for it. And what was the reaction of those apostles? The apostle left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. So they were feeling proud to be persecuted for Christ. Do we feel proud when somebody bashed us and challenged our faith and says bad things about our faith? Sometimes I realize people, when they heard something, opposition, especially in European, American country, they sit back. They said, I cannot face this secular world. I don't have guts. If you don't have guts, then you are not Christian. If you are not willing to step out from the church building to talk to the stranger or the opposer or the person who did not like you to talk about Christ, you are not Christian. You are just a fickle Christian. You're like a reed. They go back and forth, left and right, doesn't have any stand firmness in it. So if you are a Christian, you cannot avoid persecution. And you cannot avoid persecution because you are living a godly life. And you are the conscience of this society and of this country. It surprised me sometimes when I look at Christian people. They used to be the light of the world. Now they love to be the dark of the world. They've been opposing the darkness for a long time, but now they're letting this darkness come inside the churches. Because they don't want to face the persecution. They consider all the apostles, they were not enough wise to deal those situations very well. They were not intellectual. They couldn't understand the situation. We understand the situation very well. We know how to solve the problem very well. And we know how we can keep everybody together and bring a peace in this world. That's the teaching of our church today in the 21st century. Which is totally contradicting to the word of God. We are still the same light, and still the source of this light is Jesus, and we are reflecting his light. We didn't change the source. They want to change the source. And when you don't have the source, real source, you cannot shine. You become the part of this world. So being a Christian, we cannot avoid persecution. Timothy 3, chapter 12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly life or want to be righteous in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That is the condition. Full stop. And if you are looking for another way, you are not actually trying to practice the organic or real Christianity. You want to do kind of the Christianity which you like. You want to customize this Christianity which fit very well for you and for other people. Matthew 10:16. I am sending you like sheep among wolves. Therefore be shrewd as snake and as innocent as dove. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogue. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witness to them and to the Gentiles. He said, already Jesus said, I am not sending you to Hawaii for the entertainment, for the cruise trip. There's no cruise trip in it. There's no Hawaii kind of the weather. It's a rough weather where you're living in. And Jesus said, students cannot be above his teacher, No servant can be above his master. If something happened bad with Jesus Christ, that's going to be happen with you too, because you are the branches of the same tree. If they didn't like the perfect example of this world, how come they can accept you? And if they are accepting you and they are not challenging your faith, actually there is something wrong in your faith. You're not speaking the right thing. Whenever you speak the right thing, you're going to have opposition and you're going to have a persecution. Regardless you live in Pakistan or in America, you cannot be immune from the persecution. And Jesus said, I'm coming in this world not to what you are expecting. I will bring a peace and comfort and a rosy life. I'm not coming over here. Because of me, there is going to be turmoil in this world. People will be separate. Brother and sister, they can be separate. Parent can be separated from their kids. Sister-in-law can be separated from mother-in-law. Those kind of the things happening. All the things which human nature they don't want, that's what Jesus is presenting to them in this world. So don't be surprised if somebody opposes you. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Those things shouldn't be strange for you if somebody opposes you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. You are blessed. Be rejoiced, for the spirit of the glory and God rest on you. This is the time when the glory of God rests upon you, just like in the Old Testament we read about the Shekinah. So what we have to do in this situation? How we can be a light in this world? How we can speak the truth? We have to speak, we have to be bold. In the sight of people, we are weak, but we are bold. We are passionate, we are compassionate. We are knocked out. We are knocked down, but we're not knocked out. Don't be afraid to talk about the truth, especially in this world where so much compromise going on. Even the Christian universities or Bible colleges, they are teaching them all kinds of the garbage. They want to attack on the inspiration of the Word of God. They want to make the Bible so comfortable for everyone, so instead of it become the radical book, it become it just like a fantasy and acceptable to everyone. So we need to be ready. If you are Christian and you are facing persecution, it means you are true believer. Don't curse yourself. Don't think, you know, because maybe you are not true, your faith is not true. Actually, your faith is true. That's why you're facing the consequences. If Pakistani Christian people, they can stand, they can face 200 million people being a 3% of the total population. What is wrong with American people not to stand for morals and values? Why are we so scared from the secular world? We are afraid even to pray in the restaurant because we don't want to offend somebody. How come you can offend somebody when you have the message of life? I mean, this world can say all kind of the junk in the Walmart store and everywhere, they highlighting everything. Why we are so shy to talk about Christ? We don't even have a guts to say, Merry Christmas, Happy Holiday. That's better. Because we don't want to offend anybody. Actually, you're not maybe offending people, you are offending God. So we need to stand firm on the truth, regardless people they like it or not. My purpose in this world to please God, not to people. I don't care. My parents, they don't like it. My friend, they don't like. My society don't like. My pastor don't like. I don't care. I want to do something which God likes. And then we will be blessed. Then we have the reward. Stay faithful till the death of your life. and then you will get the crown of life. So the crown of life cannot be get very easily. We have to put on Christ, and we have to show Christ through our life. So keep praying for your brother and sister. They're living in the Islamic country, in minority, and they're facing all kind of death threat, and they can be killed on a daily basis. Keep them in your prayers, because when you focus on those people, it will help you to prioritize your values and moral too. Hopefully this message will be a blessing to you, and definitely I like it will be convicting to you. I want people to feel convicted when they hear about it, and not just take just a feeling, but I want you to take it to the heart and never ever forget those people, because that is also the command of Jesus Christ, to remember those brother and sister. They're living in those countries where they are being persecuted for their faith. Thank you.